kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title for us to talk about today, and we're calling this teaching, Do We Really Understand Jesus or Yeshua? Do we really understand Jesus? We so often today use the word God, Lord, Almighty, and so on, but we don't always use his name that he's revealed to us under the new covenant. And that name is Jesus. And he tells us that whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of Jesus. And I think sometimes we're not as bold and as confident to use that name. It's easier just to refer him as God or as Lord. But remember that many other religions also refer to their God. And we find in today's philosophy and thinking, and certainly from Greek philosophy, that there are many gods, and these gods are in conflict, fighting and warring who is the greatest and the strongest, and so on. And it's referred to today as the elite, or the cabal, as it's called. I'm now hearing them call the gods. The gods are in control. The gods are in power. And of course, we know that everything is a cycle and there is nothing new under the sun. But we should not be afraid to call our God Jesus or Yeshua. And the reason I open up with this, because I want us to look at the story of the Samaritan woman. You remember she meets Messiah, Jesus, and as she converses and talks with him, she realizes that he could possibly be the coming Messiah. And let's take this up in John chapter 4. And we'll take it up from verse 7, John chapter 4, and verse 7 through to 26. 7 to 26. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, asking a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans?" So she realizes her position. She knows who he is, and she is surprised that he speaks to her. Now, of course, we get a clue from this in verse 46 of the same chapter, because the disciples raise this question. And so Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick. Verse 27, I'm so sorry, not 46, verse 27. The disciples raised this question, and at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or why are you talking with her? You see, a Pharisee or a rabbi would never talk to a woman outside of their home. They would not even address or talk to their wife or their daughters. So this is what is actually going on here, because she's surprised, she's amazed that he responds and talks to her and says, give me water, give me drink, which of course reveals God in flesh got weary and tired and thirsty, just like we do, which reveals also his humanity. And then it goes on, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Like so often, God is working the scene. We're clearly seeing how Jesus walks in the will of his Father by the Spirit. And he sees very clearly an opportunity in which to share, to preach, to teach. And this in many ways is how God wants us to walk. To realize that if we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then whoever we encounter, whatever situation there is, God so often can open up a situation there in which to share, in which to testify, to witness, to use that opportunity in which to reveal their need of Christ. We so often see this, how our Lord walked, how he knew what his Father was doing, arranging a situation through everyday practical things and needs. Here it is, he wants water. And here it is, a Samaritan woman whom he shouldn't talk to. And she is surprised that he asks of her. He's weary, he's tired. And then he seeks the opportunity in which to reveal, to show her who he really is. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Well, he didn't have anything to draw water out. Probably, as we know, the disciples went to get food. Maybe they had the bucket in which to draw that water. We don't fully know, but he didn't have anything. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons of the livestock? And Jesus answers and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Here our Lord now is inspired. He's speaking by the Spirit. He's speaking now what the Father reveals. He's revealing that he is this living water. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. So she's beginning to ask questions. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. There now the Spirit, the gifts are in operation. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is now being revealed to Jesus. He says, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. in that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. You see, as Jesus seeks this opportunity to share, to speak, as the Spirit leads, we then see that the gifts also, if needed, will come into operation. And this is what God wants to do with us. This is what it means in Romans 8, whether we walk in the flesh or in the Spirit. We must never limit what the Spirit can and will do, for he will give us the words, he will empower us in these everyday, what would appear to be mundane things, just drawing water from a well. Look what God is doing here. We're still so often looking for the great revivals and the great earthquakes and the calling down of fire and 3,000 to 6,000 souls to be saved. And yes, we don't limit God, but look how often practical God is. And this is why we miss it. And you know why we miss it so often? It's our pride. We're not going to lower ourselves to such simple, mundane things because we still haven't yet learned to serve one another, to minister to one another, just like Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet. It's humbling ourselves. And look what God does. And then it goes on, verse 21, and Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. And that is what God is seeking today. Singling out, calling out a remnant who will get delivered from bondage, religion, Babylon. I know that one. How God worked that with me. He showed me that way, way back when I was in the denominations, because I realized that is what they don't do. They don't understand true worship, worshippers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it says the Father is seeking such to worship him. That is what he's calling. Do you know that's what you have been called out to, the deeper life, to walk by faith in these last days? Because he's seeking true worshippers, not praisers. Everyone wants praise today. Praise, if it doesn't lead to worship, simply is entertainment. And we have so much of that around the world today. It entertains Christianity. It's not enough. God looks for worshippers who worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. And God has to work that truth within us so that we get delivered from this hypocrisy, this lip service, and so on. Why? Because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is spiritual, and that is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit for this purpose. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will teach us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow. And she's so taken by that that she goes back and she shares all of this. You see, you don't have to advertise. You don't have to print pamphlets and all that goes on today. When God is present, when God speaks, the people will speak. It spreads abroad. Why? Because they're touched by Almighty God. I long for these days to come back. We're so reliant on technology and so forth. And thank God for it. We wouldn't be meeting like this today. But look what God is doing. And we're told that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And he changes not. So I haven't forgotten the title today. Do we really understand Jesus? That's the question that we're raising today. Now, this well is a reminder and an experience of what Christ can do. Can you believe that? Can you really expect God to do what he says he will do? Because so often we still have this mindset that God's called me to walk the deeper life, and yet those details of my life, my belief, can one really walk this walk? Can we walk this standard? We often feel his demands are inappropriate to today's living, that he isn't in touch with reality. It seems that the Bible, Christ, Jesus, isn't applicable to today. And that's why they're saying that Jesus Christ is now redundant. That's what you hear, because technology has taken over. Science, intelligence has taken over. And we take those mindsets on board. Or we say that my life is just too complicated. There's too much that's gone on. You don't know what my family was like, what my parents were like. And we take these mindsets into certain areas of our life. And you know what that does? It diverts us from seeking him. Do we really understand Jesus? This is the question. Well, that's why we have this story of the well. For this very purpose of what we meet and experience. You see, our unbelief is simply saying Jesus has nothing in which to draw water. Let's look back, verse 7 onwards. And the woman of Samaria came drawing water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And his disciples, they'd gone away to the city to buy food. And then she talks, and she says that you have nothing to draw water from. He hasn't got anything. And that's how we view him. Because we don't always understand Jesus, this Messiah. It's as though there's a well there, but we can't get to it. We can't draw anything from it. But you see, God was using that for a reason, to show something deeper, to get beyond what appears to look and to see. And this is what God is doing with us. He's getting us to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And the big problem is our pride is so often gets in the way. In other words, our pride is saying, He can do what I can't. Or I can do what he can't. And that's how we play with it. If God can't do it, then I'll do it. I'll go to the arm of the flesh. It's easier. And we all do it. Because we can't see how anything can be drawn from this well. Well, I've got good news for you, brothers and sisters. If you're taking up the cross each day and following Jesus, that is going to strip us of everything that opposes this. You see, we still often try to work it out, how he's going to do it. Instead of drawing from this well, we're drawing from our own minds and our own imaginations. Now, I'm not saying that our mind and imaginations can be wrong. It's good to have an imagination that is inspired and anointed of God. Sometimes when I go into warfare, my imagination, sometimes I'm seeing an army in conflict, in fighting. Or sometimes I'm seeing Jesus triumphing, coming in on his white horse, winning the victory. Now, the Holy Spirit can inspire your imagination, but our imagination can also run riot, and the enemy can use it. And where we are trying to work it out in our own mind and our own strength, and not realizing that we can draw this water. Well, what does it say in verse 11? And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" So, she then says that this well is deep, and he's got nothing visibly to draw anything from this well. He's asking her if she can do it. And of course, the well is deep. Why is this well deep? Well, just think how deep you are. I am. What are the depths of the wells in you and in me? Do we know our hearts? Can we search ourselves and know ourselves? Why, surely not. We think we can. Psychology thinks it can, but we can't. We don't know ourselves. We don't know what we're capable of doing. And thank God, it is the intervention of Almighty God in our lives, stopping us from doing some of the things that would make our faith shipwreck. Because we don't know what we can do. People think they're in control of their lives. We think we're in control when we're driving a car. But it's Psalm 91, God giving his angels charge over us. God who gives us life, who allows our heart to beat. We don't know ourselves. And when you truly understand that, then you abandon yourself completely on the Lord and cry out for his mercy and grace. And then you will begin to understand that you can draw this water, even though the well is deep, just like we are. That's why I love it about the Word of God, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That's telling you that this supernatural word, the word of God, is the only thing that can deal with man. The whole man in mind, body and spirit. It can only deal with the deep wells within you and I. These deep wells of hurt and unbelief that God is still delivering us from. What does Jesus say to you and I in John 14 and verse 1? John 14 and verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Who is me? Jesus. So we know him as God, and we also know him as Jesus, or Yeshua. That is his personal name to us, and we shouldn't be afraid of that. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be confused. Don't let fear in. Believe in God. Believe in me. He can say that because he said, when you see me, you see the Father. He's one with him. And this, of course, is what he was trying to show and teach to the disciples this. But the trouble is that we still, because we don't draw from this well, we still think he hasn't got anything to draw water from, so I can't really fully trust him. And so we think, you don't understand. You don't understand me, Lord. You don't understand me because the well is too deep. Have you been there? Yes, you have. I have. And there are still times we do it. And that's why we run to alternatives. Because we're saying, it's too deep. You don't understand. I can't draw this water. I've got nothing to draw it from. Little realizing he's the only one that can quench our thirst. That's why we walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. God knows you can't draw water. He knows that. And do you know why he knows you can't draw water? You can't draw it because this water that he speaks about doesn't come from the earth beneath. It comes from above. And that is our problem. We're still worldly, earthly at times. And we're trying to draw it ourselves. And he's saying this water comes from above. And that's what he's wanting to teach this woman. And that's why it is such a powerful story. Because this water comes from above. And we need to start acknowledging. And how do we start acknowledging? And I'll tell you something that God really emphasized to me in as I prepared this. He said, you no longer acknowledge and see me as Almighty God. It's not enough just to say a mighty God, but Almighty, Almightiness. And when we begin to understand his Almightiness, then we shall start to draw this water. But until then, we try and get this water ourselves. Are you seeing in your prayers, your intercessions, your warfare, the almightiness of God you are talking to, communicating with, who holds everything by the word of his power? Are you aware of that? Is that in your imagination, in your heart, when you come before God and in prayer, when you speak to sicknesses, when you ask in his name? Is he just the mighty God, or is he almighty? That is the question. And that is why we're still trying to get water for ourselves. We're scraping around at the bottom of the well, trying to get water. As I say so often, this walk isn't about trying. It's about being. It is what he has made us. A royal priesthood. He's made you a son, a daughter, destined for the throne of God. Only Almighty God can do that. Only Almighty God can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. It can't happen otherwise. Faith always looks above and not in this world. Every time when you are in faith or you confess faith or pray the prayer of faith, if you are starting to look in this world, if you're starting to work it out in your mind or whatever, you have lost it. You are no longer seeing Almighty God. The prayer of faith is of from above. This water that we drink is from above. We're seated with him in heavenly places. That is our position above. Not in this world. Our faith that God has given us is not a faith of this world. It is supernatural. It is above. And it's given by Almighty God. And we're still trying in our own attempts to draw this water from Jacob's well in our own strength, aren't we? And we wonder why it doesn't happen, and so on. As I say, you don't need a degree to understand this, you know. What does it say in Ephesians 2 verse 6? Just to emphasize what I'm saying. In Ephesians 2 and verse 6, well, we take it from verse 4 from Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice the name, Christ Jesus. You have been raised up with him. Where is he now? He sits at the right hand of the Father. And that's why he looks for those who will worship him now, the true worshippers in spirit and in truth. You will not find that worship here on earth. It is with him in heavenly places. And our true worship is when we believe and trust him and obey him. That is what he looks for. That is the living water that we draw from. You can't get that water from this earth. It comes from heaven, and you have to be with him, together with him, in heavenly places. And he says, you're a new creation as a result of that. And yet we still want the old ways. Hallelujah. Look what he says that he's done for us. Look at this back in chapter 1 of Ephesians, 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, Almighty God, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that's what he wants to do. As we draw this water from above, as we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, as we yield to him, so that the fullness of him who fills all in all, we should be filled by him for our fellowship, our unity, our oneness. It's his work. It's him bringing us together. It's his body, his church. And this is where he manifests his fullness. As I say so often, it will be known how much you love Jesus Christ. And we're talking today, do we really understand Jesus? If you really understand Jesus, you will understand his church, his body, because you cannot separate it. And we've got so many Christians today want to do their own thing. And I'm going to tell you, they don't really love Jesus. Not as the Bible reveals. And you know why they do it? Because they're not drawing this water from the well. Because they see, they're looking, Jesus hasn't got anything to draw that water. So they do it in their own strength and unbelief. But you see, this water is from above, because that is where he is now. And he empowers us from above. He speaks to us from above. Everything is from above. And he's also in us as well. Why is he in us? Why does he live in his fullness in us? To enable us to be able to be seated with him in heavenly places where he is. Because, of course, his spirit can be in anywhere he wants. He can go anywhere he wants. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. But it all comes from above. You see, our love and dependence for this world isn't from above. And that is why he says we are not to love this world. Our hearts are not to be found in this world. And that's why he puts separation into our lives. Because you will not draw this water otherwise. To put it in a simple analogy, the well is on earth and the drawing of water is from above. And that is why he is Almighty God. Not just Mighty God, but Almighty God. He can do all things. So the question we've been talking about then today is, do we really understand Jesus, this Messiah? Because if we really do, and we have really drawn of this water, and we've seen that this water he gives, we will never thirst anymore. Unlike natural water, then there is something that happens to you, just like this Samaritan woman that went away. And she went and she shared that the Messiah, believed the Messiah has come. She couldn't help but talk about it. And that is exactly the same with us. When you are touched, when you are drinking of this water, you cannot help but go and share and talk about it. And that's why God gives us a ministry. And that's why he sends us. And that's why we can seek these opportunities when they come up like this, that the Lord will give us the words in which to turn it, and so that God can use it. And then you'll find that people start to raise and ask questions, just like this woman did. And you will find that the Spirit will give you the answers. It's not difficult, this. We make it difficult. And the reason being is because we're not drawing of this water. This water does not come from the earth. It comes from above. So do we really understand Jesus? And we will understand if we are truly drawing this water from him, where we will thirst no more. In other words, you won't need to lust for anything, want for anything, look for those things always in the world. He will provide. It's seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. It's whether we want him to possess us, to lead us, to guide us. It's whether we want that. Because the world out there is very strong. And the spirit of this age is very strong. And we are seeing now the great falling away. Who wants to be part of that? But we like to flirt, don't we? We like to still have one foot in the world and one in heaven. That is human nature. That was the problem with Israel. It is still the problem today. It is the problem with much of contemporary Christianity. But God will not do that. You're either in one camp or the other. You're either in the world or you're in the kingdom of God. That is how he's done it. And he knows, he has wisdom, he makes no mistake. And we have to understand, we have to know and experience, where am I drawing this water? That's the question. Because if you're drawing it from above, you will never thirst anymore. Father, we thank you again for speaking to us. Sometimes, Lord, we need it in very simplistic ways. We can get too complicated. Our minds can get too bombarded with things. And you have a way of uncomplicating things and bringing it down to its very basics for us to understand. Lord, may all those who hear this word draw water from above, those living waters, where they will thirst no more. For this we ask now, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I'll find secure.